gather to join. Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned. That's how I come alive.
That's how I change my world. As the custom is, we want to look into today's anchor scriptures for today's topic. And our first reading will be taken from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16, the verse 14 to 23. 1 Samuel 16, 14 to 23. Thank you. The New King James Version. I read. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said to him, surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall be that he will play it with his hand when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well. So Saul said to his servant, provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me. Verse 18. Then one of the servants answered and said, look, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person. Look at the CV. Wow, what a CV. And the Lord is with him. Let that be your CV. So the CV of David. Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. And Jesse took a donkey, loaded it with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them by his son David to Saul. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Verse 22. And then Saul sent to Jesse saying, please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. Then the last verse. And so it was whenever the spirit from God was upon Saul that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit will depart from him. Hallelujah. Second reading, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 to 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 to 21. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honor and some for dishonor. Verse 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he would be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Last reading, as we all read together, Romans chapter 11, verse 29. We are all reading together. Romans chapter 11, verse 29. A very popular scripture. Can we all go together? For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. One more time. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. It pleases the Lord as usual that today we still share in the matter of anointing, art thou anointed. We are on our fourth sub-series, and I'm of all hope that from January to August, you have been biblically established in the knowledge of the concept anointing, true of us. And I'm very hopeful that for this time period, your understanding and how you perceive anointing and how you engage anointing has changed. And therefore, you are living a life of the anointed. Is that not so? God. So on our fourth sub-series, we started the concept of catching anointing. And we are saying that anointing is not manufactured. It is what's called. And it's a role. There is a role of man in the catching of the anointing. But before we look at the mechanisms by which we will catch the anointing, there are certain truths we need to establish so that we catch the anointing for the proper reasons and for the proper usage. Do you agree with me? So we started with some qualities that everybody must have in preparation to be able to catch the anointing. Do we all remember that? Good. So we spoke about that. And last week, we also spoke about the understanding between the callings of God, and that of the anointing. Today, we also want to look at one of the things that I believe will be the last. Then we will now move into the mechanisms of catching the anointing. Another very important aspect we need to consider before we zoom into the mechanism of catch the anointing is to understand the relationship between the gifts of God and the anointing. And today I'm going to give you three facts that you have to take it with you. As you take this with you home, it's going to help you a lot in this life. Now, fact number one, and I'm going to explain that today. That is what I'm going to do. Number one, it is both factual and true that you can be gifted and not anointed. And you can be anointed and not gifted. It's a fact and it's true. I said it's both factual and true that one can be gifted and not anointed. And one can also be anointed and not gifted. Now let's explain this one. In our first reading, the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16, we found out that there is a king called Saul who was under a distressed spirit because the Spirit of God has left him. Now, when the servants of the king saw the problem of the king, they found out that the use of instruments or the playing of instruments can contribute or can help in the deliverance or in the well-being of the king. So therefore, they decided that they will go in for somebody who cannot play an instrument. Now, what was the request in the verse 15? Let's go to verse 15. Let's look at something about there. Verse 15. 16. Let's go. Move on to verse 16. Now listen. Let our master now command your servant who are before you to seek out a man who is what? A skillful player on the what? Harp. He didn't say let us seek for somebody who is anointed to come and play. The first thing that they mentioned was that they want somebody who is what? Skillful. Now, along this message, you find out that skills is a product of a gift called talent. Talent becomes useful when it becomes a skill. And we will get there. Are you with me? So you find out that and talent is a gift from God. So in the first place, the fact here is that The fact that you are talented, the fact that you are anointed, does not qualify that you can be able to what? Deliver something that requires skills. And skills is a product of a gift. Are you with me? So as I am here, if in my absence, Elder Obu decides to be the keyboardist for that Sunday, Elder Obu is very anointed. But I just believe God that you're going to enjoy that service. Hallelujah. So that is a first fact. I'm going to explain it. We must draw the line that somebody can be anointed and what? Not gifted. Now, in the preceding verse, when you get to the verse 18, 19, you find out that when they were all looking for somebody who was skillful, a man read the CV of another man who was selected. And in that CV, it was found out that not only was he skillful, he was also what? Anointed. Because God was with him. Hallelujah. So you can be skillful, but you not be anointed. And you can be anointed and not skillful. This statement is true and is what? Factual. Number two fact is that our effectiveness and efficiency in the kingdom of God requires both skills or gifts and anointing. It is an absolute lie to think that gifts alone can make you effective and not efficient. And it's also a lie that anointing alone can make you what? Effective and efficient. Both elements are required as long as our kingdom mandate, assignment, and deliveries are concerned. Exodus chapter 31, verse 6. Are you following me? It's very dangerous to think that skills is the same as anointing. As we move on, you see, they are both required. Now let me show you something. And I indeed, I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of what? Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. And I have put wisdom in the heart of all the gifted what? Did you see that? I have put what? Wisdom. Wisdom is an expression of what? Anointing. God is speaking to Moses that I have put wisdom in the heart of all the gifted artisans that they may make all that I have commanded what? You. He didn't put the wisdom on any other person. He put it not in the gifted, skilled people. So for the product of the tabernacles to be made, it required both skills and what? Anointing. Nobody can ever deliver effectively and efficiently in the kingdom without both working together. Based on these two facts, we need to look at what we called the gifts of God and the anointing. Do you agree with me? Does these two facts make it a reason for us to look at the gifts and anointing? If you agree with me, let me see your hand up. Then now we can look into it. Therefore, because these two facts are true, there is a need for us to discover our gifts first, invest in them, and also rely on God's anointing in the use of any gift he has bestowed on us as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. Hallelujah. Amen. Therefore, what are gifts from biblical perspective? Wow. I never knew that God is so interested in gifts until I started studying this. Now let's go. I define gifts, or from the little research I've done, I found out that biblical point, gifts are natural or spiritual endowment. I want you to write it down. Bestowed by God. James chapter 1 verse 7. Gifts are both natural and spiritual endowment bestowed by God. James chapter 1 verse 17. Let's read the book of James chapter 1 verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of what? Light, with whom there is no variation or shadow of what? Turn. Did you read that? Every good gift? Did you read every perfect gift? So the good gift stands for natural endowment. The perfect gift stands for what? Spiritual endowment. That's what the Bible is saying over there. So both natural endowment and spiritual endowment are bestowed on us from God, enabling us to serve him and minister to others. So in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10 to 11. So, gift by biblical definition are the natural and spiritual endowment bestowed on us, which are the good gifts and what? Perfect gifts. So I said a good gift stands for what? Our natural endowment. The perfect gift stands for our spiritual endowment. And it is bestowed on us to serve him and minister to others. So in 1 John chapter 4 verse 10, as each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of what? Of God. So this is what ministering to others. Let's look at ministering to God. Colossians chapter 3 verse 23 to 24. Colossians chapter 3 verse 23. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to what? Man. Have you seen it here? Whatever you ought, do it heartily, as unto what? The Lord and not unto what? Man. Verse 24. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord what? Christ. So both our good and perfect gifts in the book of 1 Peter 4:10 is to minister unto others. In Colossians chapter 3 verse 23-24 is also minister unto what? The Lord. That is what gifts are. Now, there are four categories of gifts. As by definition, we know we have both physical and spiritual endowment. By the teachings of our Father and the Lord, Apostle Joseph Minta, there are four categories of gifts. Four. And we're going to look at all the four. Now, remember that the reason why we are talking about this is because from Scripture, we can establish that both gifts and anointing are required as far as kingdom advancement is concerned. Are you following me? So first of all, let's understand the concept gifts, and then now we can see the place of what anointing, how gift and anointing are to come together so that you know how to use them. The reason why you need to catch the anointing is because you are gifted, and the gift alone will not be enough. Everybody here is gifted. So the reason I want you to catch the anointing is because the gifts that you have can only be relevant in the things of God as long as there is an anointing on it. And sometimes some people even don't know they are gifted. So I want to go through it so that you know you are gifted. Hallelujah. The first category of gifts, as stated from scriptures and by the teachings of our Father Apostle Joseph Minta, is the natural gift. Natural gifts. A natural gift is the natural endowment which we normally call talent. Proverbs 18 verse 16. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 16. A man's gifts makes room for him and brings him before great men. This scripture, although interpreted that it is the things that people carry to others as gifts, it also implies as what you have in you naturally as what? A gift. If you are gifted, if you are talented, okay, if you have talent, it has the capacity to make room for you before great, great men. Hallelujah. Amen. This gift comes to light when it goes through process, especially education and training to become a skill. Listen to me very well. So this natural endowment is in everybody. Now, it only becomes reality, it comes to light when it becomes skill. But being a skill, it must go through process called education and training. So when you are educated and you are trained, what happens is that every natural endowment in you will come to light. That is why talent is not enough. In our current generation, which footballer is the most talented footballer? We all know Messi, but currently, let's look at even the youngest one. You can talk of Lamine Yamal. The guy is so talented. But do you know that day in and day out, he goes through process to learn and unlearn and build the knowledge on how to use his talent. And now he's becoming a skill. So he has the skill of dribbling. He has the skill of shooting. Are you following me? It's a skill. So even though you are naturally endowed, if you don't go through training and process, that endowment will not come to light. That means you will not be skilled. That's why we acquire what? Skills. Nobody is born with skills. Eh? Are you with me? We acquire skills as a result of the development of our natural what? Endowment. So if I find out that you are naturally endowed, then what I need to do is to help you to go through process of training and education to make it a skill. When it becomes a skill, it's now very useful and people begin to demand. Now follow me. Hence, the purpose of education is to help the individual identify their talent and develop it into what? A skill. That is all. That's all. The purpose of education. So when you go to school, are you with me? How many of you go to school? How many of you have gone to school before? How many of you are going to school? How many of you will not go to school again? I know of somebody here who doesn't want to go to school again. So the purpose of education is to identify your talents and develop them into a skill set that can be used to serve others. So, Osofo, let me show you something. Do you know why some people can go to school and graduate even with masters as medical doctors and end up as musicians? The talent was wrongly identified. He can never succeed as a medical doctor, so he's going to leave it. The frustration in Africa here is that we are forced to do what it is not naturally endowed in us. That's our problem. When you go to developed country, the project of education, now we talk about China and other places. Do you know what they do? The project of your education is to find out what you are endowed with. And by that, they educate you and train you to what? Release it. Imagine we try to make Messi a politician. Ha! You can see the mess in the world. Or Ronaldo, a musician. You're laughing. That is the reality you are facing. Do you get it? So the natural endowment, that's why you see that if you look into the secular world right now, one of the things that most of the systems are doing is to find people who are naturally endowed and train them. So if you are here, you don't like school, you are tired of school, what they are trying to tell us is that you don't want the endowment, the natural endowment of God in you to come out. And I'm going to shock you right now that if you play with skills, God will not use you. I'm going to show you scripture. Many Christians think that, see, God use a liar. God will only use you when he has no alternative. Should any alternative show up, God will let go of you. I'm going to prove it to you. You don't learn. Don't learn. Don't allow yourself to be trained. Don't go to school. And Jesus went to Sina, go. So for Basa. Or you think that, you see, even the quality of message you deliver on the pulpit has to do with your mental capacity. The ability to research, sit down, understand that this is definition, this is context, this is explanation, this is an example, and put it together to teach people is not anointing. The anointing is that whilst I'm talking to you, it is working on you. It's not a lecture. That is why it's able to transform you, your soul. Because whilst I speak, the Spirit of God has taken over it. So whilst you listen to me, it is not only that I am ministering to your soul, it also opens up your spirit and that the product comes out. That is why anointing comes in. But if I don't have the skill set, so when they give you assignments in school, you don't do it, you come and preach and let's see. Don't know how to conduct simple research. Then you see that after you preach, after 2 years, you go and listen to your own message and say, "Hey, hallelujah, are you with me?" So natural endowment becomes a skill when it goes to process and training. So education is necessary. Let me show you something here. The reason why this form of gift, natural gift, is very important is because God is likely to choose someone who is already predisposed, skilled in the natural gift the person possesses, to put his anointing on the gifts to execute his operation. Exodus chapter 31 verse 6, what we read. When I read it, you remember. What did he say? And he put his wisdom on what? No, let's read. And I indeed, I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahimashak of the tribe of Dan. And I've put wisdom, you hear, in the heart of all the gifted what? Gifted what? That's why the wisdom of God don't come on you. No, God does not waste his anointing, no. God will put the anointing on the gifted ones. Means that the person is predisposed, skilled to execute his operation. So anytime God wants to execute an operation, he looks for those who have better their natural endowment and they are available. If there's none, then we will consider you like that. You consider you. You think that God has not received yet. You don't know. We all have CV before God. God, check. There are some people, if they had built their education life a little, the kind of advancement God would have used them for. You can even attest to it even among the ministers of God in Ghana here. The extent to which some people have advanced beyond Ghana, and the reason why some people cannot cross the borders of Ghana, even the town they live, you find out that their natural endowment was not developed. It has become a limitation. It's not only man of God, though. All of us here. Any endowment, you see, your endowment, one thing you know about your natural endowment is how your desire to go in a particular direction. I knew deep within me that as part of some of the things about me, that either I'll be a consultant or a lecturer. I knew it's something that I was naturally endowed. The ability to talk, convince people is something I have. Yes. That's why when you go to your CV, there's something you call over the what? Communication skills. I have it. Do you know it's a skill? How did you get it? It means it's a natural endowment that has been developed. We have something called leadership skill. It's a natural endowment developed to become a skill. It's not the book who gave you. It is a natural disposition in you. But when you went to school, your mental capacity was what? Advanced. And you received training. Now you are able to dispose that natural endowment. So on your CV, when they ask you what are your skill sets, they are talking about your natural endowment. You see over there, communication skill. There are some people, you can open their head, put a microchip in it, force them IT or Munda. Anything about technology is not part of their DNA. They are the ones who tell that Android is better than iPhone. It's not part of it. You know, but even if your CV, they ask you your skills, you're writing it. That's what you see. When people ask to present their CV, and you see that people struggle to write those things. You say I have communication skill. Yes, you can't even convince one person. You're not naturally endowed with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's understand that natural endowment is required in the kingdom. God, he said, those who are gifted artisans, I've put my wisdom on them. Now, but you see, in fact, how many of you know that David killed Goliath? Let me see my hands. Good. Now, you found out that David, the Bible said that by one sling of a stone, Goliath fell. Is that not so? So most of you believe that it was the anointing that sling the stone, right? It's a lie. Read the book of Judges chapter 20, verse 16. Let's read Judges chapter 20, verse 16. In Israel, in the tribe of Judah, there was one skill set that they trained people. Most of them were left-handed people who can slay a hair, one strain of hair. One strain of hair, you can hold it, and they can strain, that they can slang a stone and it will take it out. Let's read. I didn't say Genesis, so Judges. Judges chapter 20, verse 16. Among all these people were 700 select men who were left-handed. Everyone could sling a stone at a hair's breadth and not miss. Did you read it? In Judges. So in Israel, as part of the army, there were people who were trained, left-handed people, who can throw one stone. And a hair's breadth, do you know a hair's breadth? One single hair string like this, do not miss it. Let me ask you a question. How was David killing the animals that were coming after the sheep? By the sling of stone. So the man has perfected the act. So when God was looking, because you know the issue, those days there were no guns that you can go and be a sniper. So those days, the snipers were the ones who sling a stone. Yes, that's how snipers were started. So those days, there are no, the snipers are those who can. So David was the master of it. And when God chose him, the guy was so good I could target the forehead of a man who was wearing the whole armor. And when he shot it, it hit the forehead. But how Goliath died was because of the power that packed the shot. So be there. And think that David just came from nowhere and took a stone and just threw it like that because he was anointed. Hallelujah. So natural endowment must be developed. Please continue to develop every skill set you can. Continue to know what you are capable of. Don't joke with it, because your natural endowment plays a role. God will always choose somebody who is predisposed. So don't be jealous when some people are anointed. Ask yourself, are you skilled like they are? And the Bible calls it according to their ability. He gave one talent according to what? Their ability. Let's move on. Second gift. The second gift is called grace gift, which we also know as what? Spiritual gifts. The second. In fact, it covers the other two I'm going to talk about, but this is also very important. Grace gift. Grace gifts are gifts that are given even before you were born again. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. Spiritual gifts. Are you shocked? I want to let you know that grace gifts, spiritual gifts, you have it before you were even born again. I want to prove it to you. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before what? Time. So when was grace given? Before time began. So before you even came born again, God has given you spiritual gifts with their grace. Hallelujah. Now, these grace gifts are given to us before we are born again, but they begin to manifest, unveiled itself when we come born again. So most people begin to realize the grace gifts about them when they become born again, but that does not mean it's not there. And you find out that this grace gift, how many of you know that some people, when they dream, it comes to pass? No, they are not born again. It is from this place. It's a grace gift. It is already in you before you became born again. So some people can dream and tell that they, me, if I dream and it's true, you joke, you, because it's in their natural heart endowment. It's part of their spiritual heart endowment. Now let's move on. Now, what are these grace gifts? For number one, they are indicators of your spiritual DNA. I'll explain it. Number two, the family you are connected to, spiritual family you are connected to. And three, your spiritual inheritance. In other words, it is the grace gift that determines your destiny ordination. So everybody has a grace gift because everybody has what? A destiny ordination. Now, if you want to know your grace gift, you begin to see that it has something, things it indicates, your spiritual DNA. You see it. Now, what am I talking about spiritual DNA? It refers to what God has wired us into. The spiritual DNA, what God has wired us. Do you understand wired? What, how you have been designed, modeled. The things that are worked into you together. Yes. Into what God has wired us into, for the Holy Spirit to act upon, to reveal our destiny ordination as we live on this earth. The Holy Spirit does not come to do any new thing. When you come born again, okay, the Holy Spirit begins to take the shape and form of what God has already wired you. That is why you find out that some people can preach aggressively, the same spirit, and some people can be calm. What is the difference between the deliverance session of Reverend Istudanaba and Archbishop Ajinasare? It's how they are wired. That's the spiritual DNA. One will scream and shout and sweat. Another will say, in the name of Jesus, go. And he's gone. That does not mean that, no, it is how they are wired. So, and this is because of what? The grace gift at work in them. So even in their natural disposition, you will see it. The Holy Spirit does not come to change anything. All he changes is your spirit. But any other thing over there, it is already designed for your destiny ordination. So he comes to just 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 7. I'm giving the amplified version. So you begin to see that there are certain things that at by natural disposition you're able to do them at ease. Is grace gift. The Holy Spirit just make you do it so simple. You are wired like that. That's all. That's all. There's nothing more. So now, but to each one is given the manifestation, I only, of the Holy Spirit, the evidence, are you following? The spiritual illumination of the Spirit. Do you get it now? So when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, what it does is that it brings illumination, evidence to what is already wired in you. So the manifestation of the Spirit is for all. It's talking about that everybody is wired for the grace gift of God in them to come to light, to reveal their destiny and ordination. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, what it does is that those things over there, he reveals them. That's your spiritual DNA. So there are certain things that I can do, easy and natural, that Elder Obu cannot do because of the grace gift. It differentiates that. The DNA is different. Do you understand it now? Number two, the family concept. What we are talking about here, the family concept, is the pathway or the similitude of the nature of your ministry that those who have gone ahead of you have manifested. You know, sometimes you can be there, you do certain, somebody say, ah, this boy is ministering like this man of God. How many of you believe that Bishop Dag is on the pathway of Kenneth again? It is his grace gift revealing that. So everybody, see, there's nothing that you are going to do that somebody has not done it before. There are people who have done it. So your grace gift will let give you the indicator that, oh, you are also on this pathway. You are also following this kind of ministry. You are also going this what? This path. It's the grace gift. Are you all there? Number three, spiritual inheritance. Spiritual inheritance talks about the common manifestations and demonstrations you easily stumble in because of the grace gift you possess. Yes. Do you know that as we get to know, do you know that some people, their grace gift is prophecy? Eh? Even before they were not born again, they can dream. Now that they are born again, what do you think will happen? When they were not born again, they could dream, they could see things. When they are born again, what do you think will happen? You see, it will be so easy for them. You can fast and pray and do everything. You see that when they come, it's so easy for them. It's because it's their grace gift. It's part of their natural endowment. What God made them. Spiritually, what they have. And that's how God designed it. And those things are there. Hallelujah. So I've given you two kinds of gifts, right? Grace gifts, which also are spiritual gifts, and then what? Natural gifts, which also called talent. Everybody has it. Everybody. Everybody. The third one, imparted gifts. Now, these two that I've mentioned are of the sovereign will of God. These two that I've mentioned are of sovereign will of God. They are predetermined before you are even coming on earth. But when you come onto this earth, the permissive will of God grants us additional two gifts that everybody can access. Number one, imparted gifts. These are gifts imparted through laying of hands or through word of prophecy or even through listening of messages of fellowship. In Romans chapter 1 verse 11, let's read. Paul said that I wish that I come unto you that I may impart unto you spiritual gifts. In God's wisdom, he has made it that there are certain gifts that you cannot be born with. Men must impart you with it. It's very dangerous. As far as your fulfilling your destiny or ordination is concerned, there are certain gifts it is not part of your natural disposition as grace gift or as what? Natural talent. Some men must impart it unto you. For I am yearning to see you that I may impart and share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen and establish you. This was not an anointing. It was talking about real spiritual gifts. That's why you can hear some men say that I caught this from this person. I remember very well that Joe mentioned that healing of deaf ear, one ear, it was imparted to him in a dream by Archbishop Ajinasari. There are certain gifts by God's natural order. It's not part of your predisposed things that God, you have to catch it from men. So if you joke with men, that's where impartation comes from. So impartation can be gift or an anointing. So anytime people lay hands on you, I mean genuine hands, it's either a gift is being transferred or an anointing. But the issue about imparted gifts is that they come in a seed form. They come in a seed form. If you don't work on it, it will never come out. It's not like your grace gift that because you are naturally disposed to it, you don't need much. This one, you do much. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 14. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 14. So there are certain impartations you have received. They will never come out. Do not neglect the gift which is in you. That special inward endowment, are you following? Which was directly imparted to you by the Holy Spirit, by the prophetic utterance, when the elders laid their hands upon you at your ordination. Now, if you read 2 Timothy, he said, stir up those things. He said, you should do what? Stir it up. It's a seed. There are things that we have to lay hands on you and impart you. Yes. You have to, yes, you have, there are things you have to lay hands on you and impart you. Yes, there are gifts. You will never get them until hands are laid on you. So that is why you have to understand the laying of hands. Laying of hands is not only for deliverance and healing. It also comes with impartation, and gifts are imparted. There are certain dimensions of your calling. There are certain, when you get to a certain level of your calling, God will, men will play a role. Why will you need man if there's no, they cannot give you certain things? They have to lay hands on you and impart you. So Elvis was sharing with me today a revelation he had about me. When he told me, I was laughing because I was going to, he said he saw me imparting people. Yes. As I prophesy on you and I lay hands on you, there are gifts I can impact you. That one is not part of your natural disposition. Hallelujah. And this one, when it's imparted, it comes in a seed form. It's lying there. If you don't stir it up, it will never come out. So we can impart you the gift of healing. And that one will be there until you know how to work on it. Invest in it, then it will come out. Hallelujah. So yeah, men of God will say that, oh, when this man of God lay hand on me, and then this, that, it, yes, they received it, but they have to go and work on it. Last one, so that I can move on to other matters. Now we have what we call the coveted gifts. Covetousness is permitted in the things of God. If you don't know, covetousness is permitted, but it's only for one thing: spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 31. Let's read. Coveted gifts. God's system make room that if you have a strong desire for a gift on somebody's, see, covetousness is to desire something that does not belong to you but belongs to another person. God permits that if you notice a gift on somebody and you desire it and you strongly desire it, it will come to you. So somebody can tap and take your gift from you. It's permitted. Let me read. But earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and best gift. You go back to the New King James Version. Do you see what it says? Earnestly what? Desire and zealously what? Cultivate the greatest and best gift. So if I am here and I see the gift of the word of knowledge operating in somebody and I am so desirous of it, permission is granted by the wisdom of God. So there are certain things you can operate them, which is not part of your makeup, which was not even imparted to you by covetousness. This is the only point covetousness is allowed. Beyond this one, it's a sin. Yeah. Beyond this one, if it's not spiritual gift, it's a sin. But earnestly desire the best gift. Earnestly what? Desire. Give King James. King James even gave the word covet. What did King James said? But what? Covet. Earnestly. Not just covet. Covet what? Earnestly. The best gifts. Hallelujah. Now, this desire, let me put some corrections over there. In as much as this desire is allowed, in fact, this desire comes because it is God's orchestrated. You know that you can be there and you see a man of God ministry in a particular dimension and gift, then you desire it like, I want this. It is God. And how we will know it is of God is that the motive is not for self-promotion. The motive is not to make money. The motive is not for personal gain. But you see that the motive is purely for the advancement of what? The kingdom of what? God. You say, when I go here and this and that and that. In fact, there was a gift on somebody I really coveted and I got it. Yes. God gives permission that if there is a gift that you covet as a result of the desire sold in your heart, you can get hold of it. Yes, you can get hold of it. Now, the problem is that coveted gifts only comes to you when you pay the price that is required for it. And also, find in scriptures what backs the operation of coveted gifts. If you don't pay the price, you don't get it. And if you don't know where in scripture that gift is operated, it will never come. So if you are able to do these two, you can convert a gift. Now, these are the four available categories of gifts for everybody on this earth, especially those who are born again. Are you with me now? Are you with me now? Good. So now I've explained to you gifts from biblical perspective. The good and not the perfect. Now the question is, how does anointing come into this whole situation? In the next 25, 30 minutes maximum, I'm going to wrap up. Now follow me very attentively. The danger and the scary thing about the gifts of God is what the Bible said in the book of Romans chapter 11, the verse 29. That the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. This statement set us on a clear path to know that when it comes to gifts and calling, there are certain things that are very important to note about it. Now, when the Bible says that the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable, it means that, number one, all gifts are the act of God's sovereign will. They are determined in eternity before time. They are what and who you are in God's mind before you were released into time realm, and it will remain the same forever. So the Bible says that the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable because these things are predetermined sovereign will of God before you are released into time realm. And your coming into time realm, this earth, does not change what and who God knows you, and it will remain forever. So in the book of Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4, let's read what God said to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ought ordained you a prophet to the nation. Before you were born, before you even become a blood clot. This is why they give, because they are already a decision God takes by his sovereign will. Before you are even born. Now, you know that all of us here, well, you see, when God said he rested, everybody here, we are all created in the spirit realm, existing in the spirit realm. Yes. So, the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable because, number one, they are things that are done in the eternal realm, which does not change. Number two, it is going to be against the nature of God, which is faithfulness, if he changes his mind. The act of God's faithfulness is that God cannot and does not change his mind, even if man fails or falls away from what God originally decided for the man. God did not say, oh, because Eda Bless has left, so today he's not anymore a prophet. If by his destiny ordination he's called a prophet, it remains so. It doesn't matter what he does. So what God does most time is that he tries to draw us back to our destiny path. That's why I keep telling that Radin is a shebre. It is the devil Emma who changes shebre. Is that one who changes destiny? God has not changed destiny. God always is interested in us getting to know our destiny because it's predetermined. There's nothing you can do about it. Now, the problem is when we leave the eternity realm and we come into time realm, what happens to gifts and calling? Now, are you following me? Now, in the eternal realm, gifts and calling are determined by the predestined counsel of God, sovereign will. Nothing changes it. They are irrevocable. God cannot change it. It cannot be reversed. They are like cancer. Nothing can be done about it. But when it moves from the eternity realm and enters into the time realm, which we are talking about the earth realm, and I hope you know there are two realms. Do you know that? If you don't even know, do you know there are differences between night and day? And do you believe that there's a spiritual realm and there's a physical realm? Do you believe that? You believe that? So that's what I'm talking about. So in the spiritual realm, we call it the realm of eternity. Every decision decided over there, it is now, present, and eternal. It doesn't change. But when those decisions and things and acts are taken and they now travel into time realm, things happen. What happens? Now, when gifts and calling enters into time realm, they are subjected to the permissive will of God, also called the moral will. What is this? This realm is under the full control of man's authority according to God's design model. And because it is that, one thing that God passed in the natural disposition of man was called the law of choice. In the Garden of Eden, he said, there's the tree of life and the tree of what? Good and knowledge. Choose which one you want, you eat. So in this time realm, permissive will orchestrates and runs the affairs of God. Man is permitted by the law of choice to decide what you do, what God has given him. So in Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 19, let me read that scripture quickly. So the eternal counsel of God has decided, but when it comes to time, it's a different game. So even the giftings cannot be revoked. Time realm will decide what will happen with it. Now watch. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendant may what? May live. This is God speaking to the people of Israel. God in time realm operate by what we call the moral will, which also we call the permissive will. And that permissive will of God gives man the right to choose and the right to be accountable. We are not robots. The reason why you can do what you are doing today is because you are not a robot. And God will not stop you. If today we close from church and say you want to go and fornicate, nobody will stop you. No angel will stop you. No angel has power to stop you. You have the right to choose. But when you finish, you also have the full right to account. I'll not account for you. That's why the Bible said that each one shall stand before the throne room of what? Grace, and shall account of his own what? Deeds. Because of the permissive will of God. So the gift and the calling that God has given us, when we move from eternal realm, as I said, before you became a blood clot, you were a prophet, everything, yes. At that place, no permissive will is allowed there. When it enters time, permissive will works. We choose. Now, here's the problem. Therefore, man, in this time realm, under the permissive will of God, can choose to use his gift to the service and the honor of God, or otherwise. Now, this is the problem. Wherever there is choice, there are options. True of us. If someone says, I have no option, it means that you didn't give him a choice. And you know that nobody here wants to go to a place where he has no choice. Can I see my hands? When you are writing an exam and they give you a compulsory question, do you like that teacher? How many of you like teachers who give compulsory questions? The most hated aspect of core maths is the compulsory side. And they put all the marks there. Those are wicked teachers. We will deal with them later. Let's continue. Wherever there is... Now, what? Because, man, we are designed to have options. By the permission will of God, we are designed to have options. Sometimes the sisters, when you tell them that you are interested, they are waiting for other options to balance the equation. It's not like they don't like you, Brother Paul. It's not like we don't like you. We like you, Brother Paul. But we need to have options, because we are a being that is under the permissive will of God to choose, the right of choice. So you can't come and you'll be the only option. We will question God. So God has to give us options available. Then we look at Brother Paul is there, Brother Peter too. Oh, Brother James is also there. Oh God. Then the confusion will start from that place. So under this permissive will, because man has choice, man has what? Options. So this means that we have the right of choice and we have options to whom we can use our gifts and to whom we want to yield our gifts. And this is where the anointing comes to play. You remember that I told you that there are three reasons why God gives anointing. Number one, for acceptability. Number two, to release the fragrance of Christ. That means that what you are doing is Christ-centered. It is of Christ. It is Christ. Do you remember that one? It also shows that your upgrade in the things you are doing, which is the religion of Christ, it is because of this choice. Anytime we see somebody doing something that we can smell Christ in it, it means that the person has chose to use his gifts to serve God. Let me give you the three options, then we close. Option number one, we can choose to use the gift to serve ourselves. Yes, we have that right to use our gift, be both natural. I'm not using your gift to make money into your pocket. No, it's not your gift. The first option to man is that both natural and spiritual endowment God has given to you, you can use to serve yourself. And we call that one the flesh. Romans chapter 6 verse 13. We can use our gift to promote the interest of our flesh. Because of the permissive will of God. And do not present your members as instrument of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness unto God. Do you know that by the demands of self, which is the flesh, you can use your gifts to advance the will of yourself, and that is called sin. So some people are gifted and they are using that gift to advance their sinful life. Some of you, God has given you natural endowment. So for people are so gifted, good communicators, but they will use it to pursue selfish interest. Now, when we talk of selfish interest, you're talking of anything that advances your sinful nature. Anything that will help you to continue in sin. Anything that uses your natural endowment. So people have used their natural endowment capacity to advance all kinds of useless lives. Yes. You have the right to do that. You have the right. Let's move on. I don't want to talk much. Because time is fast. I want to quickly wrap up. So are you following now? Because of the time realm factor of permissive will, gifts, you can choose what you use your gift for. Even though the gifting and callings of God are not revocable. And it was meant to advance kingdom purposes or God's purposes. Time realm permits you to decide what you use it for. Please, the question is, what are you using the endowment God has given you to do? Is it to advance the desires of your flesh? Now, some of the things I don't want to say them. Now, it seems like technology is a curse rather than a blessing to us. Because now everybody, because of small click and likes and small coins that they'll get from social media. If you see the things people are doing. Gifts, both natural and spiritual endowment. Or you don't know, can you use a spiritual gift to advance your sin? You don't know. Somebody told somebody that I know, I have to code it, that his prophetic gift is advanced when he sleeps with you. So if you want him to prophesy to you and give you details, he has to fire you. Yeah, you get it? Yes. Some people are using their gift to milk you. And they tell you, do you know how much it costs us to enter the realms of the spirit? You are looking at me. Yes. The selfishness of the flesh of covetousness, love for money, covetousness, will push people to use their gift to prophesy money out of people's pocket. So just one healing, price target. If you don't release 10,000, it's not happening now that our song ministers are charging us before they minister to us. Or you think that when you talk of flesh, it's only about fornication? No, the other ones are also there. Let fornication breathe. Amba, why are you always putting it on fornication? It's not the only one there. The sins of the flesh, the flesh, sin, it's not only fornication. There are other ones there. Gentle, quietly, they are there. Charge before they minister to you. Why are you charging? If you don't pay me, I'll not play keyboard. Very soon, those who sweep church will begin to charge us. Everybody will charge. Prayer time, I'll form a charge. Bible studies, charge. Everybody. Send the bill to the double. Are you with me? So you see that people, that anytime the things you have with God is to advance your own interest, selfish interest. And you see that most of the times, those things, they end up into sin. Yield unto unrighteousness. Number two, the devil, cosmos. And this is the most dangerous one. Many people are yielding their gifts, both natural endowment and spiritual endowment, in the advancement of cosmos to the devil. Man can enter into transaction with the devil to give access to his gifts in exchange for fame, riches, wealth, and protection. Yes, people enter into transaction with the devil. And this transaction is seen in the point where the strong love, most of the times the grace gift, when people build strong love for the world and the things in them, they have entered into transaction with the devil. And they are using their gifts. See, the only way the devil can transact business with you is that you give him your gifts. That's all he needs. I'm telling you the truth. You are useless to the devil if he cannot find any gift in you that can advance his kingdom. Whether being natural or spiritual gift, especially your grace gift. I'm going to prove it to you. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15. When the Bible says, love not the world or the things in them. What he's trying to say is simple and short. That the love for the world will lead you in the transaction of what? Your gifts. So the Bible said in the book of Revelation that the Antichrist, he traded in the souls of men. Souls. Traded in the souls. Why are you to sing that song? The thing, Ubenya. People are transacting their souls for what? And you see that, you see it in their love for the world. Advancing cosmos. So they'll sing to advance the cause of cosmos. And then we celebrate them. They'll act movies to advance that talent over there. They'll use it to advance the things of cosmos. Many of us are helping the devil build his empire. Many of us. Some of you, your social media account you have used it to advance the cosmos so much so well that less anything. Because of the permissive will of God. Gifts. So, it is by this transaction, this transaction with the devil, we giving our gift, transacting our gift with cosmos, advancing cosmos. You know, it is by this transaction that some of us, our forefathers, transacted our spiritual inheritance in the grace gift, which could be prophecy for witchcraft. If you see a house where witchcraft is an is easy to acquire. In fact, it is one of the easy things to have. It tells you that some years ago, their forefathers entered into transaction with the devil. And the devil took hold of that gift of prophecy, corrupted it, and became witchcraft. It's under this same kind of transaction with cosmos that you see that people who become fetish priests, fetishism, being strong in the house, is because years ago somebody went and transact business with the devil for power, for something, and the devil corrupted that apostolic gift, that calling, because it is irrevocable. It was there. So you see that family, there's an apostolic calling on them, but the devil my family is one of them. When my father became born again, you see a strong apostolic call at work. He breaks grounds. But my great-grandfather and those after him, they used that corrupted apostolic calling to service an idol. And if I tell you the things we've done, you'll be scared. Go to Volta region. It's an apostolic zone. That is the apostolic zone of Ghana. Go to Eastern region. That's the prophetic zone. But when you talk of witchcraft, go to Bono. Is it Dia Quanta? Those people are prophetic by calling. But somebody has corrupted it. Somebody has made way for the devil. I pray for you. Any corrupted spiritual inheritance, May God redeem it in the name of Jesus. So we transact business with Lucifer to advance his cosmos. So do you know the funny thing? Apart from sin that the devil gave us, there's nothing that the devil have that he can give you. The only thing he has is sin. Every other natural endowment or spiritual endowment that men are using to serve the interest of the devil, and we have identified with the devil, is because there were natural things in them that he corrupted. So sorcery, let me give you a scripture. What I'm trying to tell you, that when the devil gets hold of a person's gift, you know what he does? He corrupts the gift by, first of all, either teaching the person how to use the latent power of the soul to empower that gift, or how he himself can grant the person access of his power to what? Power that gift. Now, I don't want to talk about the latent power of the soul. Time will not permit us. But let me tell you, all this black magic, yoga, block meditation, like meditation, all these things, is because man is trying to access a sealed power in him, called the latent power. It's so powerful that when it comes out, it can do exactly what you are doing with the Holy Ghost. The devil is on a course to even teach Christians how to do things without the Holy Spirit. Oh, you don't know. We will get there. And it's because we have transacted our gift with him. So a prophet will not pray, but can go into some kind of yoga engagement and will see things in the future. I tell what he sees true. It's not a lie. It's the latent power. So in the book of Acts chapter 8, verse 9 to 11, let me show you something. So people don't know that they have been doing business with the devil. Everybody, your gift, their question is who is using it. See, sometimes when they say we are permissive to do what, but not all things are fitting for us, it's not because of anything. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery. Are you following me? In the city, and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone what? Great. Continue. Listen to what he said about him. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of what? God. Sorcery. This man was supposed to be a prophet, but the devil corrupted it and transacted business with him. And the Bible said everybody gave it. Now, I'm talking about this gift. He used it to serve men. All these secular artists, you see them there doing all these things. See, their natural endowment and whatever they are doing, it is God who gave it to them. But transaction has taken place. And people believe it's God. Great power of God. Do you know why they call it great power of God? He's using the latent power. He's not doing anything fetish. There is no anything fetish about what he's doing. He's just trying you to do some, if you do this and you close your eyes and do this, this will happen, and it happens. So, that is God. Some of you, they are giving you some wonderful akwantere. Let me continue. Time is fast spent. So, this is how people, so the second option is that you can transact your gifts with cosmos by loving the world and the things thereof, and by so doing, you exchange. So a lot of you will go to school, and when you come out, God will not have benefit of you, but you use that knowledge, skill, to advance cosmos. Many Christians born again, I tell you, they are helping to build the cities of Egypt, but they are not interested in Canaan. Many of us, the question is that the school that you attended, how is God benefiting? Some of us, when they wanted to post us for national service to some place, we said, we'll not go, because we are thinking of our selfish gain, the skills we have acquired for ourselves. Finally, the third option is to serve God. We give our gifts to God by purging ourselves and making ourselves available solely for God's use. So in our second reading, we found out that the Bible said in the great house there are many vessels. Some of gold, some of what? Wood, and some of what? Clay. But the vessel that shall purge itself shall be what? Used by the master. So when somebody decide that I am living a life whereby nothing of mine shall either advance my flesh or advance cosmos, such a person has chosen to use the gift to what? To serve God. That is where the anointing will come on you. So there can be people in the church who have nice voice, who can sing nice voice, but they have not purged themselves. There's no anointing. There's no anointing. They have people who have great skills, great gift skills, but they have not purged. They have not made that decision that nothing else will assess this deposit endowment. They have not purged. An anointing will not come. So therefore, when we purge ourselves, we will need anointing on our gifts, because before we can minister unto God and God will accept it, oil must touch what you are using. Oil must touch it. The reason why anointing has a role in our gift is because there are many options by which you can use the gift, as I've stated. What makes it that God can use it is because his anointing is on it. And that's why it serves God. That's why it serves God. So the Bible said in the book of Ezekiel, some of the priests said he has called them for the people, but the priests, according to the what, the pattern of Zadok, he said they are the priests who minister unto me. You are gifted, but I tell you, your giftings cannot cast out demons. Let's help ourselves. Let's help ourselves. There are skilled medical doctors who will never conduct an operation for you today. It will not happen. Do you know why? The hands is anointed. We have the story of people like Ben Carson. Anointed hands. What is it? Gifted hands. The undoable, they do it and people survive. Because you have not dedicated that gift for the anointing to fall on it. So the Bible said, David, even though he was a skillful player of the harp, the Lord was with him. Any form of blessing you can be to the church or to the body of Christ or anything you can do in the church, it requires anointing, because we are to release the fragrance of what? Christ. So what is the use of you standing here to sing and people walk away with depression? What is the use of you to stand here and preach when people will leave here and they are still battling with things that you claim that you have preached? So the anointing and gifts work together because we have to choose who to use our gift to serve. And what confirms that this gift is dedicated unto God is that the anointing is on it. And when the anointing comes on it, whatever it does, whether it be ministering unto God or ministering unto people, you smell the fragrance of Christ. So in our other reading, the book of Colossians chapter 3, he said that do all things as it is unto what? Unto God. Do all things as it is unto what? To God. Because we serve Christ. All things. Everything we do in this world is an act of our gifts. When you teach people at your office, do you do it as it was unto God? The things, the day in and day out you are going, is it unto God? So don't be here to catch an anointing when your gifts, you are not ready to use it for God. You can hear people, ask for me. You see, it's very dangerous. So when you tell you, you can't sing certain songs, you think we are disturbing you. No. You can't do certain things. It's not because we are disturbing you. It's because that gift, if only it's for God, is meant for God, it can't go that place. I pray for you that your gifts will be used to serve only the purposes of God. It is at that point that you can attract the anointing. If you are not ready to give your gifts to God, see, There are other religions who go to school because they want to advance their religion. It is only Christians who go to school for themselves. Many of us. God, eradicating our agenda now. We want to build and develop our natural endowment without thinking about how it advances the kingdom. I want you to lift up your voice and begin to pray. I want you to ask God to have mercy on you. You want to tell God, Father, I give my gifts to you. My natural endowment, my grace gifts, any other form of gift that I have. It is only for you and you only. I refuse to use it to serve the flesh. Oh, man, Levandosaya. I refuse to use it to serve the flesh. If you are here and you know very well that God has not benefited from your gifts, or you are serving, the Bible says no one can serve two masters. Let us not deceive ourselves. Some people will stand and tell that, he sang a gospel song. Somebody who sang gospel song and singing secular song. How can that be? How can I serve two masters? You are lying to yourself. That gift is not for God. It's not anointed. That gift cannot bring healing to you. Some of you want to use your gift to do two things at the same time. No. The Bible says, yield your members. I want you to pray and say, Lord, take my life and let it be. Consecrated, Lord, unto thee. Take my moment and my days. All anama vasaya. I can no more give myself unto the things that is not of God. Oh Lord, my flesh, I will not serve your interest with my gifts. I will not serve your interest. Sometimes we are so selfish, self-centered, that we will do things even to go against God because of selfishness. But Lord, I'll use my gifts, the knowledge I have, the gifts I have, it will serve your purpose. God, find use of my gift. Anoint it. Halama Messiah. Oh, for God to receive your ministration, for you to be a blessing unto others, it is because the anointing is on that gift. That is why I said it's a fact that you can be gifted and not anointed. And you can be anointed and you are not gifted. The two are true. But the things of God pertaining to the things of the kingdom requires that we are both anointed and gifted. Oh, pray that, Lord, help me to advance in my gifts and anoint me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Spirit of God. Father, I pray for your people. I pray for everybody here under the sound of my voice. That no one here shall use their gifts in the advancement of the things of cosmos. We shall not be the promoters of demonic, devilish things. But Lord, our gifts shall advance your kingdom. And we shall use it to be a blessing, not for our selfish gain. The motive of our gift will not be because we want to be known, not because of bread and butter, not because of fame and riches, but because it wants to minister unto you, Lord, and be a blessing to others. Oh Lord, we pray for that grace, that we will stay faithful. We will be stewards. The Bible says, what have you received that it is not given unto you? Lord, we believe that we have received this and it is coming from you. All gifts, all good and perfect gifts are coming from you, Lord. So Lord, we are giving it back to you that it will serve your purpose. Therefore, Lord, release your anointing unto us. Release your anointing unto us. Any man or woman, we see that we desire to tap the operations of your anointing on their life. Because our mind is focused on serving only your interest. Let us tap those anointing. Let us tap those anointing. Lord, we are here to catch your anointing. We are here to catch the true anointing of prosperity. We are here to catch the true anointing of healing. Because the gifts that you have given us is meant, oh God, to serve you in the interest of your people. It will not be used for our selfish gain. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.